They're lying spirits, deceiving spirits, and they're all demonic. But there is only one spirit of truth, and that is the Holy Spirit. He also bears witness that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Son of God. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Well, hello everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in. On today's program, Pastor Bill continues his series, Real Life, from the Epistle of 1 John. The pastor has titled this next message, The Assurance of Eternal Life. Now, Pastor Bill.
I don't know that I could actually select a better timing and a better set of scriptures, if you will, as we look to the Lord's table this morning. I mean, it's just absolutely perfect, the text before us. And as we look this morning at the love that God has for us, I mean, every father wants their children to have assurance, don't they? And is God our Father? Absolutely. And he wants all of us to have the assurance living and alive, not only here, but right here in our hearts, that truly, not only are we born again, not only are we a children of God, not only do we have the assurance of that, but we have this morning the true assurance of eternal life. Matter of fact, that's the title of our sermon this morning, The Assurance of Eternal Life. I read a statement from a great scholar who is no longer on earth. He's home with the Lord in heaven. He said this. He says, I've never met a true Christian who had lost their salvation, but I have met many who had lost their assurance of salvation. Assurance that they were saved. You know, it was only a few months ago that my entire counseling time, week after week, was only on one topic, one hurt, one thing that was troubling people, the sheep of God's pasture, and that was they needed assurance that they were truly saved. Amazing, isn't it? Now, with all that being said, you know, we're learning this morning that our assurance and our eternal security, if you will, it rests upon not only understanding God's word, the scripture, but more than ever, believing what God has said. Amen? And that is literally the key. Look back with me at chapter 5, verse 1, and let me just read that scripture to you, and look at it carefully. It says, whoever attends church, whoever what? Believes that Jesus is the Christ is what? That means you are born again, you are a child of the living God, that is the word of God, amen? Remember whenever Paul and Silas, they were imprisoned in Philippi, and in Acts chapter 16, 30, you know the story, I don't have time to go into all that, but how the jailer was, it was at midnight and they were singing and all of a sudden the chains fell off of them and the prison doors were opened. And remember what happened with the jailer? He ran into Paul and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen? And Paul says, well, there's class 101, 201, and 301. He says, now, let me tell you the denomination you need to belong to. Amen? No. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. What a word is that? Now, I want you to look at the last verse of our text this morning, verse 13. Look at it carefully. This is the whole purpose he's writing this morning. He said, these things I have written to you, those people then and Christians today, you who what? Believe. There's that word again. Believe in the name of the Son of God. Why? Well, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Of God. Now listen, can you know that you are saved? Can you know that you have eternal life? Can you know that you're really a child of God? Can you know that heaven is your home? Well, okay, do you have assurance of that? This morning, that's the intent, is for all of us to leave here that are truly born again. Amen? That we walk out of here never to doubt anything about what God has said again. So look at verse 6 with me, and he starts off, and again from verse 5, he's talking to us. He said, Jesus, who is the Son of God, and then he said, again, he's still talking about the Lord. He says, now this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, meaning the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, not only by water, but by water and blood. Now, what is John doing here? This is a doctrinal thing that he just pushes, and it's important because he's giving us historical facts, okay? He says, listen, he who came, did Jesus come? That's a historical fact, loved one. And he says, let me tell you about the historical life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says, he who came. Where did he come from? From heaven to earth, amen. Was he born of the Virgin? Was he placed in a manger? Did anybody happen to witness that? Were they called shepherds? Amen. But let me tell you something else. John, who is writing this, who wrote the 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, and the Gospel of John, was John himself a living witness who traveled with the Son of God? Absolutely. And you remember what he said about the Lord? Let me just read it to you. 1 John 1. He starts us off and he says, hey, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Talking about Jesus. He says, the life that was manifested, we've seen, we bear witness, we testify. I'm a witness of it. In other words, we declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, and that which we've seen, we heard, we declare to you that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Amen? And I want that fullness of joy, and I know you do as well. So he says, listen, I was a witness. And not only that, there are other witnesses of the life of Christ. And he uses water and he uses blood. Now, that speaks of Jesus' earthly ministry. So the first witness we have this morning is water. Now, what does water speak of? If you study different commentaries, there's going to be a lot of different answers. I'm not going to deal with all those different answers because we don't have time to do that. You can look them up for yourself. I'm going to give what I believe and what the majority of scholars around the world actually have believed since then, what the interpretation means. I mean, for example, could you use water as the word of God? Okay, could you use water also as the incarnation? Of course. Now, but that's not what he's saying here. He's talking about the life of the Son of God, what he did in his earthly ministry. So when we talk about water, we know that it speaks of the fact of his water baptism. Now, that happened in the Jordan River. And if you go back to the Gospel of John later and study it out, you'll realize that in the Gospel of John, that was Jesus's first appearance in that gospel. It was when he came to the River Jordan and John was baptizing. And it says in John 1:29, let me read it. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sin, not sins, plural. That's very important. If you look that up in the Greek and you study out Greek scholars, who many I have that I trust sincerely, you know what that word actually means? It means here when it says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, it's talking about the sin, the entire mass of sin of mankind, all of the sin. Amen? Okay. He says, now this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who's preferred before me, and he was before me. In other words, he existed before me in heaven. He says, but I didn't know him. John says, I didn't know that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And even though they were cousins, think about it. I didn't know him, but he should be revealed or manifested to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And here it comes. And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained upon him. and I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, meaning God, said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Here comes his testimony. John says, I have seen, I have testified that this is the Son of God. So he's saying, I am a witness to that. Now, you know, the moment that Christ was baptized, then his earthly ministry began. Amen? So the first witness is water. The second witness is blood. And that certainly speaks of his death upon the cross. Jesus was born to die for you and me. Amen? For the sins of the world. Look at it now. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Now watch what happens. He does a repeat. He says, not only by water, but by water and blood. Now, why in the world would John, he just told us that, why would he tell us that again? Well, the reason he did was because of the heretical teaching of the false teachers, the Gnostics. Remember, that's what John is writing 1 John about, is to refute the Gnostics. And they taught something different. They taught that when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, actually, the person who was baptized was just a man. Then the Christ Messiah Spirit came upon that man. And that man became the anointed one, the Messiah, whenever the dove descended upon him. But the Christ Spirit, if you will, left him right as he was dying upon the cross. Now, we know that's false teaching, amen? But that's what they were teaching then, meaning that he didn't die as God, the God-man. He just died as a man. And if Jesus just died as a man, that means he did not conquer sin, death, and hell for us, amen? And yeah, he didn't do any of those things, but we know that he did. 1 John 3:5, we know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Amen? And if it was just a man upon the cross, then 2 Corinthians 5:21 is not true. God made him, Jesus, God had made him who knew no sin, sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Apostle John, man, you talk about a witness. Do you remember that John, was he at the cross? Did Jesus entrust Mary, his mother, to him? So he was right there with the Lord, with Mary and the other women as they were looking. And remember in the Gospel of John, remember what happened. You know, they ordered, since it was going to be the Sabbath and sundown was coming and so forth, that they were to make sure that they were removed from the cross. Well, so they got a mallet, the Roman soldiers, they went up to break the legs of all those upon the cross. But when they came to Jesus, they found out that he was already dead. Remember? And you know what the scripture says happened in John 19? It says in verse 34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And immediately, guess what came out? Blood and water. Now listen to what John says. And he who has seen, I'm an eyewitness, he says, I have testified, and this testimony is true, and he knows I'm telling the truth and the reason that you may believe. Now, but the false teachers, the Gnostics, you know, think about this. You know what they taught? They taught that Jesus, literally, the Messiah, was more or less, he was just a phantom. He was a spirit. And that's why they say that spirit left the Lord on the cross. Well, that's not true, but that's what they were teaching at that time. Listen, let me ask you a question. Does a phantom have blood? I've never met a phantom. I thought I have, but no, there was a real body, a real person with real blood on a real cross who died a real death. Amen? Oh, listen, loved one, that is so important, and that proves that Jesus was the God-man. Now, look at verse 6 again, the second part. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who bears witness. There's another one now. Bears witness, testifies to these things. And matter of fact, is he continuing to testify to Jesus today? Absolutely. So it says, so this is the Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. So the first witness, we have the water, the blood, and now the third witness concerning our salvation, our security, we have the Holy Spirit, the one who was not only present at Jesus' baptism, the one who raised him from the dead, but also he's with us this very moment, isn't he? Amen. So the Spirit of truth, that's who the Holy Spirit is. God is true. Amen. And Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, I'm the way, the life, and the truth. Now, there are many spirits in the world then and in the world today. There are lying spirits. There are deceiving spirits. And they're all demonic. Now, but there is only one Spirit of truth, and that is the Holy Spirit. And this is what he does. He also bears witness that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the Son of God. Amen? Now, look back at John chapter 4, there where we are, just 1 John 4, and look at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Now, remember, that means anybody who's teaching the gospel. But test the spirits, whether they're of God. And the reason? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And it says, by this you know the spirit, or recognize the spirit of God. Every spirit that teaches or confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, that's what the Gnostics did. They denied the incarnation. It says, is not of God. So the Spirit bears witness then, today. And how does the Holy Spirit bear witness, though, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Well, how about his baptism? Amen? Let me give it to you in John 3:16. And when John had baptized, it says Jesus came up immediately out of the water. That means he was baptized by immersion, okay? And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. How about at the temptation scene? Let me give it to you, Luke 4:1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Then he was led into the wilderness, verse 14 of the same chapter. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went through all the surrounding region. How about Luke's Gospel, chapter 4? Let me just read that to you. Jesus himself said, as he was quoting from the book of Isaiah there, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of the sight of the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are beat down, those who are bruised in this life. How about in Acts 10:38, how it says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. Amen? So the Spirit testifies. Now look at verse 7. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Spirit, the water, the blood. And these three agree as one. Now, I don't know what Bible you use this morning. Maybe the King James or the New King James or the whatever the others are. But this verse, if a Jehovah Witness ever comes to your door, don't use this to prove the Trinity, okay? And you say, well, Bill, it just said there the Holy Spirit and the all. I know what it said, but don't do that, because in the three best Greek manuscripts that we have, this is not in there. Okay, it's not. I don't know. It's just not put in there, if you don't mind. And so everything between where it says in heaven to on earth, they're not found in the ancient Greek manuscripts. Matter of fact, Ralph Earle, a Greek scholar, says this. He says, under Roman Catholic pressure, Erasmus inserted them, the scriptures that I just mentioned, from the Latin Vulgate, and they're not part of the inspired Bible. So what they're saying is not untrue, but it's just not part, evidently, of the manuscripts that we have. Now, look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. You know, you got to be careful with the witness of men. Amen? Do you believe everything everybody tells you? Do you believe Fox News? Oh, my gosh. I mean, hello. I mean, do you believe Siri? AI? Google? I mean, do you believe Washington? It says, if we receive the witness of men, watch, the witness of God is what? Greater, for this is the witness of God. Okay, what is the witness of God? Which he has testified of his Son. So the fourth witness is God himself. I mean, he says, listen, the witness of God, can God lie? So the witness of God is greater than anything, anyone in mankind. And so the witness of God is Jesus Christ is his only Son. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Matter of fact, God spoke at his transfiguration and God spoke at Jesus's baptism. Let me give you the scripture. His baptism, Matthew 3:17, and suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How about at the transfiguration, Matthew 17:5, and while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him, or actually listen to him. And boy, should we listen to our Lord? Amen. Did you know the book of Hebrews, which is a tremendous study? Love, do you know that's the only book in the Bible that begins with God? It starts with God. In Hebrews 1:1, it says this, God, who at various times, various ways, spake in times past by the prophets, here it comes, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom God has appointed heir of all things, the one who made the world, the one who upholds the world, the one who's the express image of God. Amen? That's Jesus. The one who is set down at the right hand of majesty after he had purged our sins. Thank God for that. Now, with all that being said, what did God just say about his Son, about Jesus as the Lord? He said, that's my last word to man. That's it. Jesus Christ is the greatest word to mankind, and Jesus is the final word to mankind. Why? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. Amen? He gave his only Son. Now listen, let me ask you a question. We know from Deuteronomy, I think it's 19:15, and I might be wrong, but I know it's in Deuteronomy. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let the word, everything be established. Amen? Well, we already have three witnesses. Amen? We have the water, we have the blood, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God, more than that, we have God himself. So with all of that being said, do you know we have more people or more things in the Word of God that can testify that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How about Jesus' own word? Let me give it to you, John 5:36. Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that of John, meaning John the Baptist witness. He says, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, here it is, bear witness of me. So the works that he did, the miracles that he did, he says, for the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified to me. There's the witness again. Now you have neither heard, talking to the Jews, you've neither heard his voice anytime, seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. And here it comes again. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And then he says, oh no, these, the scriptures, are what testify of me. They are my witnesses to who I am. Amen? So all of these witnesses. So what does John tell us now in verse 10? Watch this. He who believes. That's such an important word. He who trusts in, relies upon, clings to. He who casts his full weight in trust and faith upon, okay? He who believes in the Son of God, watch this, has what? The witness where? Talking to you, talking to me. It says, if you believe in the Son of God, you have this witness in yourself, that the witness of personal experience that we are born again and that Jesus Christ is real, he is Lord. He who does not believe, or literally he who rejects God, has made him a liar. Why? Well, because he's not believed the testimony or the witness that God has given of his Son. So the fifth witness we have right here is the personal, internal experience of every believer.
Well, once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you for listening to the program today, and until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.